Welcome to the Book Nook on WYSO. I'm Vic McCunis, and I'd like to welcome back to the program one of my favorite writers and one of my favorite people, Robert Craze. Hello, Robert.
Hey, Vic. It's great to be back.
Robert, you have a new book out, and this book is a standalone.
Yeah. I do that every once in a while, Vic. You know that.
I know. But, you know, this is a very different book for you, though, Bob, because in Suspect, we have probably the tenderest love story I've ever read, Bob.
I appreciate that in more ways than anyone now listening can understand, because it's so different for me, and it's not your usual love story.
No, it's not. This is a story about a relationship between a cop and a very special dog.
Yeah, yeah, Maggie. She's a former United States Marine Corps explosive detection patrol dog who served a couple of tours in Afghanistan until she was wounded and her handler was killed when an insurgent blew himself up. And she suffers from canine post-traumatic stress disorder, which is, I don't know if you know, a lot of people don't know this, but dogs can show the symptoms of PTSD just like humans can, and the symptoms are identical, from anxiety issues to bad dreams to exaggerated startle response. And Scott is an LAPD officer who was a patrol officer and hoped to be on SWAT one day, but a similar occurrence happened to him one night when he and his partner were on patrol. He was caught in a random gunfight. His partner was murdered. Scott was badly, badly wounded. And though he recovered enough to stay on the job, he suffers from PTSD too. And the story from the beginning, the story I wanted to tell at the core of Suspect, is how this human police officer, Scott, and Maggie come together on LAPD's canine platoon, and how they help each other heal and bond together, I think, the way, in that special way that human beings and dogs can bond together. And that's the love story I wanted to tell.
And both of them have lost their partner, and they're damaged, they're wounded, they're suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. And somehow, by some miracle, they're thrown together. And then you have this wonderful character, this guy who is the supervisor of the canine patrol in Los Angeles. I really like this guy.
You're talking about the chief trainer, Dominic Leland. I have to tell you, I love him too. When I began to write the book and creating the characters that are part of Scott's world, Dominic Leland wasn't the character that you just referenced. I mean, in the beginning, I saw him only as Scott's adversary. You know, as the chief trainer, he's responsible for assessing the dogs, whether or not the dogs are fit for duty, and whether or not the dogs will be accepted as part of the canine platoon. And Maggie had been a donation dog. You know, after she got back from Afghanistan, when it was determined she was unfit for military duty, she was retrained as best that the veterinarians and handlers at Lackland Air Force Base could do to try to help ameliorate her PTSD symptoms, and then she was adopted out of government service, and a family adopted her. But then they fell upon hard times and couldn't keep her anymore. So they donated her to the LAPD's canine platoon, which is a situation, though rare, often happens in different canine units around the country. They get their dogs from a variety of places. They either buy them from special breeders. Sometimes the dogs are donated. And in this case, it's up to the chief trainer to assess whether or not they'll accept the dog, because, you know, They won't just accept any dog that's given to them. And Dominic Leland had checked Maggie out and had determined she is unfit for duty. So on the day that Scott shows up, when he's has graduated from handler school and he's there to be assigned his first dog, he just happens to meet Maggie at the point when they're getting ready to box her up and ship her back to the family who donated her. But Scott can relate when he learns about Maggie's background, when he learns that no one there in the canine platoon, especially Leland, believes that she's fit now for duty or ever will be fit for duty. I think a big part of Scott believes they're talking about him too, and whether or not he'll be ever fit for duty, or whether he'll be the officer he once was before he was shot. And so he goes to Leland and he convinces Leland to give him a couple of weeks to work with Maggie and prove that Maggie can be fit to serve as part of the canine patrol dog service. And Leland's happy to do it because Leland wants to get rid of Scott too.
Mm-hmm.
And therein, this character begins to grow. And though he started as an adversary, by the time I was halfway through the book, Dominic Leland really became the voice of the heart and soul of the dog human relationship. He became like Obi-Wan Kenobi from Star Wars. He became the wise man. And I just grew to love him, and I think he's going to end up being one of my most popular characters.
Well, the book is Suspect. Robert Craze wrote it, and they are both suspect, aren't they?
They are.
Maggie is damaged. He is damaged. And in the story, he's never had a dog. He doesn't really know about dogs. But one gets the sense, Bob, reading this book, that you know something about dogs. In fact, we get a feeling that you're paying tribute to some special dog through this story.
This is true, Vic. Actually, the first genesis or first impetus I had for this subject came from me trying to deal with a long-ago loss of my own big dog. I've always been a dog guy. I have cats now, and I love them dearly. They're great. I love having cats around. But I've always been a dog guy and have had dogs in my life since I was a boy. My last dog died, passed away over just at 15 years ago now. And he was a big Akita. I picked him out of the litter when he was 3 days old, before his eyes were even open. I said, that's the guy I want. And 6 weeks later, I brought him home, and he was my boy from that moment on. And we were together for 12 years. And when he passed away, I simply could not replace him. I couldn't even consider getting another dog. It felt disloyal.
Hmm.
And at first I was fine with that. And I thought, well, that's, you know, of course that's natural. That's reasonable. Yoshi was my guy. I was his, he's gone. And it just out of respect and loyalty, I just can't replace him. And a couple of years ago, I started to think, well, here I am. It's all these years later. And every time I think about maybe getting another dog, these huge feelings of guilt would well up and disloyalty. And I started to think, hey, wait a minute. It's now what? It's been like a dozen years, 13, 14. You know, am I crazy? I mean, what's going on? And so I started to, just for my own benefit, research the bond between dogs and people. And that led to researching dogs. And what I grew to find out is that this bond that we have, those of us who like dogs, and I think most of us probably do, runs deep to the core. It runs to the whole sense of, you know, we often hear about, well, when dogs were domesticated, now they're domestic animals, and that's true, but they give an enormous amount back to us. Dogs are great healers. To have them around brings peace in your life and happiness in your life, companionship of a certain kind that feeds a warmth in your soul, I think. And those are the things I wanted to respect in this book. And so when I created Maggie, I tried to make her as realistic as possible. She's not, you know, this isn't like a dog cozy. That was very important to me because I thought, you know, here I'm a crime thriller writer, and when I say to people, I'm going to write a dog book, the main character's a dog, they're going to think it's like a cartoon. You know, the dog is just really going to be a four-legged short guy with a black and tan jacket on, you know, having dialogue and being a genius like Lassie. Go get the car keys, Lassie. I didn't want to do that. I wanted to make Maggie real, and I worked very, very hard to do that, and that's out of a respect for what's true and natural about how we feel about dogs and how dogs feel about us.
And you do give us her perspective. You have a number of chapters written from her vantage point, and she's telling us what she smells and what she sees and what she hears and what she feels.
Yeah. Well, she doesn't really tell us, but the way it's presented, we get her sense impressions of these things. You know, one of the big, wonderful areas of research I did for the book was in how dogs think, how they perceive the world, what motivates dogs, all of these things to the best of our current understanding and with the best of our science. From their senses through their pack dynamic, which, by the way, you see every day if you're a dog person, you have a dog. It doesn't matter if you have a big dog like a German Shepherd or a small dog like a Pekingese. You'll see pack dynamic and the social behaviors of dogs reflected with you exactly as you would see in a wolf pack or a pack of wild dogs or coyotes, either now or 100,000 years in the past, because they're hardwired for it. They're hardwired for a family, a pack. And one of the wonderful, incredible things about military working dogs and police canine dogs is that you can distill down that essence to a pack of two, the handler and the dog. And the dog becomes completely and totally devoted to their handler. You are the only other person in their pack. And that's a bond that, believe me, is a lot stronger than many marriages.
Well, as a reader, it was really fun to have a crime novel where instead of having the detective zooming in and zeroing in on the perpetrator, we have this wonderful dog coming into that scent cone and zooming in on the bad guy.
Yeah. By the way, all accurate. The depiction of her sense of smell is drawn from all the current science, and I portray it as realistically as possible. Those terms come from the science. What a lot of people, everyone is familiar that dogs have great senses of smell. We see it on TV. We know about it. But most people, I think, don't truly conceptualize what that means, because we, in the main, we're visual creatures. Our eyes are our primary sources of information, and we don't think twice about it. For the dog, though, even though they see fine, they see as well as we do, and in some cases a little bit better, but their eyes aren't their primary sense. Their nose is their primary sense. Go all the way back to when a dog is first born and its eyes are closed. When all those little puppies are squiggling around their mom, it's their noses that lead them to her nipples. The dog smells anywhere between the German Shepherd smells between 5 and 10,000 times better. I don't mean their body odor, I mean their sense of smell, as much as 10,000 times better than a human being. Her perception of the world primarily comes through her nose. So when I'm in Maggie's point of view and I'm describing how she perceives the world, how she explores the world, it's primarily through her nose and her sense of smell. And everything described in the book is an accurate depiction of what she's taking in and how she's processing it. And that whole scent cone thing, that's a term that refers to how a tracking dog follows a trail. And it's fairly easy to imagine if a suspect is running away, every place they step, they're going to leave scent. And the scent's going to be the strongest along the center line of the trail they've left, meaning their footprints. But the scent isn't just on the print. It sort of wafts out in the air. It's floating around on all these little tiny particulates. And as a suspect passes and leaves the trail, it sort of spreads out. And it gets wider and wider. And it's kind of easy to imagine then on the outskirts, the outer edges of that path they're leaving, the scent's going to be the all those little molecules, those scent molecules, are going to be the most diluted. So the scent's going to be the weakest out there, and it's going to be strongest right where they're leaving their footprints. Hmm. When a tracker dog is actually looking for and finding a scent, say it may come upon the scent at the outer edge, and it's going to get just a taste, a tiny taste of your smell. So the dog will actually move its head back and forth looking, well, is it stronger to the left or is it stronger to the right? And if it's stronger to the right, the dog will move to the right. And it'll follow the trail, it'll follow that scent until it starts to get weak again. And what happens is that kind of defines a cone, because it keeps looking for the strongest source of the odor, which ends up being the center line. And as it moves back and forth, that edges get closer and closer and closer again until finally when they're together, that's you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the scientists who research dog sense of smell call and tracker experts call it a scent cone, because it constantly narrows until it leads the dog directly to the thing that they're searching for.
Robert Craze returns to the program. His new novel is Suspect, and as you might suspect, they're trying to solve who killed his partner and why and what was involved there, because it all happened very suddenly. He was hurt. Stephanie was dead. He wants to solve this, and that is the big crime in this book. And I follow you on social media, Bob, and I know you like to post on Facebook now and then. We're actually doing this interview before the book comes out, and the other day I saw where they had a photo of a green tennis ball with your name on it, and that's very significant. If you read the book, the green tennis ball, I think anyone that has a dog probably has a scent of what that's about.
Yeah, well, you know, dogs like to chase things. They like to chase, and a lot of people throw tennis balls, and at the beginning of the book, that's Maggie's favorite toy. It's the thing she most loves to play with, but then bad things happen, and she refuses to play with her tennis ball after that. And maybe part of the book is me using that tennis ball as a metaphor for because it recurs again throughout the book.
Uh-huh.
And maybe she's a little bit more friendly toward it. So it's a way we can follow how she's healing or not. And my publisher, Putnam, you know, had the bright idea of maybe creating Maggie's ball. So we had made up, you know, hundreds of green tennis balls that have Maggie's name on them.
Uh-huh.
And mine in the book and whatnot. And I think a lot of readers who come to my signings are going to be taking those balls home to play fetch with their dogs.
Oh, nice. So your luggage is going to be stuffed full of tennis balls.
Yeah, I'll be the guy stopped by the TSA. What do you got in that bag, mister? 100 tennis balls.
Robert Craze joins us. The book is Suspect. And for those of our listeners who are familiar with your Elvis Cole series, your last book in that series actually went to number one on the New York Times list. We know, those of us who are familiar with Elvis, that Bob, you have to be a cat guy as well as a dog guy, because he's got that cat. We love that cat.
I do too. I have two cats. I'm a You know, I'm an animal guy. Like I said earlier, I've always had dogs. I don't have now, but I've always had cats too. And as Elvis Cole is a cat guy, he has the world's meanest cat. You know, I just love having them around. They're great animals, especially for a writer, because they get on my desk and they type for me. Just kidding, Vic. I'm just kidding.
So we have the standalone. Many of us have been enjoying your series with Elvis. And, of course, we have to mention Joe Pike.
Sure.
I'm guessing maybe the next book is going to be those guys again?
Yeah, the plan at present is to follow Suspect with another Elvis Cole Joe Pike book. Everyone thought I would follow Taken, which did so phenomenally well with another Elvis and Joe book. But I'd met Maggie by then, and I knew I had to write her story. Figuratively speaking. And the plan is to do Elvis and Joe next. But you know, I have this horrible habit, or maybe not so horrible, but I just fell in love with Maggie. I do that. I'll fall in love with a character, and I'll want to bring them back. And though I approach Suspect thinking it would be a standalone, a one-shot, over and out, see ya, I love her so much, I want to see her again, her and Scott. So now what I've been doing is trying to figure out a way to involve her in the story with Elvis and Joe so they can cross paths. I'd really like to bring Maggie back into Elvis Cole's world.
So Joe Pike might be brushing a little Maggie fur off of his his shirt.
Well, you know, these things can be sort of preordained, because in Taken, Joe meets a German Shepherd. It's not Maggie, but he meets a German Shepherd in that book, and there's a brief scene with that, and he seems to have a way with animals. He seemed to really respect that dog that he met in Taken, and have a little moment not only with the dog but with the dog's owner. I think that's kind of a foreshadowing that there could be a dog in Joe Pike's future.
And of course, I was being somewhat coy about this being a romance and all, and I've neglected to mention that there is a female cop in this story, and there's a little bit of electricity there, isn't there?
Well, of course, you know, for Scott, this book is about healing and about building a new life for yourself, both for Scott and for Maggie. And in the course of events, as Scott moves through this story, you know, he meets a robbery homicide detective named Joyce. And for the first time since his partner Stephanie was murdered, and it's been a long time, he finds himself interested in another woman, and sparks do start to kindle between Joyce and Scott, and I think they're left in a place at the end of Suspect that has a lot of room for growth. So if Scott were to come back, I think we'd definitely have to see, you know, what happens between, or what develops between Scott and Joyce, and how Maggie fits in with that. You don't think Maggie's the jealous type, do you?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so either. Yeah. I think she's got a big heart.
She's a sweetheart.
Yeah.
The book is Suspect by Robert Kraes, and I have to guess it's kind of a fun thing for you to take a break from Joe and Elvis and to do something completely different like this.
Yeah, it was. It was for a variety of reasons. It's not so much that I need the break from Elvis and Joe, because I really don't feel I do, but to write a character who's so completely different it's like an adventure. And this particular book, Suspect, with Maggie and Scott, and what this book was about, was just so emotional for me, because I just love her the purity of her heart. You know, dogs are simple. They do, as Dominic Leland in the book says to Scott, I mean, dogs do what they do for only two reasons, to please us or to save us. And it's such a natural, pure world that a dog lives in. You know, that why she does what she does for Scott, how she bonds with him, why she's so devoted and loyal and protective of him. We should all have human friends that give to us as much as Maggie can give to Scott. I found myself so emotional writing this book. There were literally scenes, days after days at the keyboard, where I would be, you know, blubbering and crying like a baby because so many of my own emotions toward my own dog Yoshi, the one I lost 15 years ago, would come to the surface. And I hope I put those things down on the page in a respectful way. I like to think I did. I want to think I did, because that's what's so pure and wonderful about our relationship with dogs and what that relationship can mean to us.
Well, when they're riding in the car together and she's got that particular place that she likes to ride, when the two of them are together, that's just a really beautiful thing.
I appreciate that, Vic. Thank you.
Did your dog used to ride in the car?
Yes,
like
he
that?
Did.
Yeah.
And he was a big guy, weighed 105 pounds. And I had, at that time, when I first got him, I had a small Dachshund with a console between the two front seats. And my dog would not stay in the back seat for anything. He would wedge his big self on that console, and he literally was like a wall between the two front seats. And, of course, I couldn't see anything to the right, so I was constantly, you know, digging my elbow into him, trying to move him out of the way. A lot of people might just say, train your dog, buddy. You know what? In retrospect, I loved every second of it.
Yeah. Well, I think for anyone who loves a good crime novel or loves dogs or loves your writing, that this is a book that's going to really knock them out. And I certainly enjoyed it. And I enjoyed all your books, Bob. And it's always a treat to have you on the program.
I appreciate it, Vic. It's always a blast for me to talk to you. I really do appreciate your insights, too.
The book is Suspect by Robert Craze, who was kind enough to return to the program today. And, Bob, we hope we can track you down for the next Elvis Joe book.
Just follow the scent cone, Vic.
Good one. For the Book Nook, I'm Vic McCutis. Thanks for listening, and thank you, Bob.
I appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Tune in next week for the program when my guest will be Daniel Stashower. His new book is about Abraham Lincoln. It's called The Hour of Peril, The Secret Plot to Murder Lincoln Before the Civil War. It happened in Baltimore. Find out what happened next week on the program. The Book Nook is recorded at Soundspace in Yellow Springs and engineered by Chris Hertzler.